This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and threw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward. So grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. Anookshuk has what you're looking for. Anookshuk's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, Anookshuk delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, Anookshuk is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with Anookshuk Professional Dog Food. So if you haven't figured it out already, I usually record on the weekend prior, unless I get a few ahead and I know I'm through the week. But I usually record on Sunday mornings. It's usually my quiet time and I get to catch up and get everything done. So we're recording on Mother's Day. And I know that Mother's Day was last Sunday when you guys will listen to this on Wednesday. So happy belated Mother's Day to all the moms that are listening. If it wasn't for you, none of us would be here. So that's just the way it is. This week, when you are listening to this, I'm going to be headed to North Carolina. In fact, me and BB are going to be in North Carolina hunting at Doug's. Hope to get a couple days in. And this trip has kind of prompted this podcast, along with listening to a bird dog podcast about puppy development. And I'm like, you know what? I know we talk about this all the time and we hit on this topic or we hit on that topic, but today we are going to talk about, do you have a plan? Okay. But before we do that, we're going to catch up on what I've been doing this week. So I fished a tournament all day long, which is going to go back into the podcast. So bear with me. Fished a tournament all day yesterday. Man, it was chilly yesterday morning. I mean, it was like 38 when we got on the water. And I mean, 5-10 minutes into it, done hooked a fish, got it in the boat. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a good day, right? Man. And you know something strange? You know, when you grab hold of the fish and the water's actually warmer, the water was 58, ended up being 62 by the time I got off the water yesterday evening. When you grab hold of the fish and the fish is warmer than your hands because the water's warmer than the air outside, it's like, whoa, what happened here? But yeah, that happened. But ended up catching over 60 plus fish yesterday. I could not get a decent measure. So what I mean by that is the tournaments that I fish are on the river. We don't do weight. The guys that I fish with and the guys that are running the tournament, they believe in putting the fish back instead of bringing them to the boat ramp. We did that last year and ended up switching. So we do measures. And yesterday was a 5-fish limit. So you got to measure 5 fish. So they give you a token, or they'll give you 2 tokens with a letter and a number. Yesterday it was a fire department fundraiser. So glad to be a part of that. I just donated. We just donated $50 to you. But they give us a little token with the fire department and whatever number it was. I think our number was 20. It was the 20th boat that signed up. So, and it was a bunch behind us. I don't know how many total was in. I probably should find that out because it was a lot. But anyway, they give you a little token. You take a picture. You got to have, you know, you got to show all the logistics. You got to have the mouth closed up against the bump board and then the tail pinched. And you got to have the whole picture in there, the whole fish in the picture. And they don't give you the tokens until the day, like, you actually hit the water. So we had to go to the fire department and get our tokens, and then we could go fish wherever. So anyway, there's a 5-fish limit. Typically, I don't – and, guys, you catch some 18s, 19-inch fish around here, man, you're doing really good. You catch a 20, like, that's like a dinosaur. But we couldn't catch anything over 15 inches yet. I mean, 14 3/4 was our biggest fish. And, I mean, we caught 60 fish, 60-plus fish. And we were still catching fish when we left. Nothing. I mean, 8 and 9 dinks. We call them dinks, right? I mean, like fish after fish after fish, 8, 9, 10 inches. We had a couple 12s and some 13s and just nothing that was measurable. And I think 94 inches ended up winning the tournament. So if you do 5 fish average, that's 18.8 inches, a little over 18 3/4 for 5 fish. Where I fish at, that's really, really good. You catch 2 fish that's in that length, 2 19-inch ones, man, you've had a record day. But anyway, that's what won it. And I fished Thursday nights, pretty much the same thing. Struggled, caught some fish, didn't have really any big – I had one get off right at the boat. It was probably a good measure fish. I think we had a 3-foot fish limit Wednesday, and we didn't have it like 45 inches. I think 57 won it, 57 inches. So my fishing skills are – in fact, I was actually standing on the boat yesterday thinking, like, you suck at fishing. Why do you do this? But I enjoy being on the water. And if I wasn't doing it, you know, for a tournament, I wouldn't care. Like, I'd be – if I caught 60 fish in a day, I'd be like, yeah. But you need those measurable fish. And just can't – last 2 days, I just hadn't got into them. So it is what it is. And that's fishing, kind of like hunting, right? So anyway, the thought of this podcast, I loaded my dog box up today, trying to gather up all my gear because I'm going to leave Tuesday evening after work. So this will drop Wednesday morning. Hopefully by the time you guys are listening to this, I'm sitting under a bear tree or have one bait up and me and BB's taking pictures and just having a good time. But I loaded my dog box up today, trying to get all my gear rounded up, leads and, you know, my chest rig, everything that I need. I got my tie-outs put in the truck. So, anyways, doing that, and I was thinking about the podcast that I'd listened to from the Bird Dog guys and talking about, you know, do you have a plan? Well, what does that mean? So we're gonna just back up and go from zero to H. How's that sound? My first name. So that's 8 letters in the alphabet. So I think a lot about this because you guys have heard me talk about the downtime in Virginia, and all my buddies in West Virginia are hunting. You know, my buddy out in Idaho, Casey, if you listen, shout out. You know, their spring season's in. You know, North Carolina, you can run all year. Talked to Brian the other day, and they've been after several bear. And I mean, here we are. I can't do anything hunting wise, but we talk about you guys know how I feel about foundation training. You know how I feel about five minutes a day, right? So I got to thinking about, you know, I fish a lot in the summer. We've talked about it. But at some point in time, I got to put the fishing poles and stuff down and take care of the dogs and get them started. So anytime that I get an invite to go and hunt where I have an opportunity, I'm going to take it and run because I just don't have that opportunity here. So we're going to talk about puppies. We're going to talk about picking puppies. We're going to talk about what do you do when you get them home. And then we're going to talk about, you know, the first 6 months or year of what's going on with them and how impactful that time frame is. So I don't want my dogs are barking out. If y'all can hear them, it's about to drive me crazy. I'm sure the neighbors have showed up and got 4 dogs out in the field running around and they're going crazy because that's normally what happens this time in the evening. So sorry about that. So anyway, I got to thinking, you know, if I'm going to do my dogs justice, I've got to put some other things aside, which my fishing, right? What's more important? My fishing poles, they don't need work. They do, but they don't need work like a dog, right? I need to take every opportunity and work my dogs when I can. So I'm going to use fishing analogy a lot during this podcast because we're going to compare and talk about it and kind of see where we go with this. So let's just talk about the start of a puppy. Are you breeding your own dogs and raising your own pups? Are you going to buy a pup? We're not going to get into the older dogs at this point. That's coming. That'll be in a future podcast. But if you're going to buy a pup, are you buying it from somebody you know? Or are you buying it from a reputable breeder? And are you doing your homework on the style? When you're talking about hunting dogs, what style of dog fits you? What do you want out of a dog? You know, do you want a dog that can cold trail? We hear that all the time. Do you want a dog that's got good speed? Do you want a dog that's got a good mouth? You know, for me, the perfect dog would have a big ball on the ground, and when he looks up, would switch over to a good steady chop. You know, that's hard to find. They're there, but you can't get them in everywhere, right? You know, do you want dogs with good conformation? Do you want dark feet or light feet? Do you know, all these things go into, you know, picking a puppy, picking a breed, you know, whatever your breed is, and your breeder. So are you doing your research? Are you picking out the dog that fits your needs, that suits you, right? And once you get to that stage, then what do we do? Okay, are you going to pick the puppy up? All right. And this goes back to some of the police dog stuff that I deal with. If you're getting a dog at, you know, 8, 10, 10, 12 weeks old, you know, that's pretty young. There's some things that you should or shouldn't do when you pick up that pup and you get it home. You guys, again, you've heard me talk about, you know, we've been holding our dogs till about 6 months old. And my fellow Canadians there, I know you guys are in a pickle. Y'all can't even let them go until they're 6 months old now. But for me, gives me an opportunity to watch that litter grow and pick up on traits that I'm looking for and the stuff that I want. It's a little bit easier at 6 months old to pick out those things than it is at 8 weeks old, 10 weeks old. I mean, I don't know how you do it. Like, I really don't. Like, the last puppy that I did not raise, there's two, you know, Sassy and Tilly, I got from Carl. And when I picked out Sassy, he sent me a bunch of pictures, and I just said, hey, that's the one I like. She looked good. She's colored up like I like it. So it makes it easier if you like to look at them, right? And it just turned out that, you know, she ended up being a nice dog. And then Tilly, we haven't got her started yet. We're working on that's going to be part of the what we talk about here. And then Richie sent me Iz, and I just trusted him. Send me what you think, right? Just send me what you think. And that's what he did. So I got a little blanket back. I got the devil. He sent me the devil. No, like she is into everything. She's too smart for her own good. She is a challenge for sure. But anyway, I trusted Richie. He knows what I'm looking for. He sent that to me, and you know, I trust what he's doing. So do you trust your breeder? And if you don't, you should, because nobody should know those dogs better than your breeder. And if you're new into the sport of hound hunting, no matter what it is, whether it's coon, cat, bear, lion, hogs, whatever it is, you know, these guys should know their breed and know what they're getting, and you've got to take their word for it and trust them. And they're going to probably be your mentor through this dog's life, because it's their stock, right? So you pick out a pup, or you get a pup picked out for you. Hey, this is what I want. And I mean, I'll use another example, you know, Mike Kent. When Mike and I talked, when I first started looking at his dogs, I told him exactly what I was looking for. That I wanted, you know, I wanted a leggy hound that could trail. And of course, the speed was a factor. And that's what Mike sent me. And that's Spook. You know, when I got Spook, that's exactly what I got. And not only did I get the things that I asked for, I got a really, really, really good looking sucker. I mean, he is a good looking dog. He's put together right, got good legs under him. I trusted that Mike was going to send me what I was asking for, and he did. So that's what I'm talking about. All right. So you got a pup, whether you're raising it yourself, which is different, you're picking it out from a breeder. If you're getting it from a buddy down the road, Same thing. Hopefully they know what they're getting when they're breeding that stock. And I get it home. And, you know, me personally, and I did not think about this until I heard the podcast. And if you guys want to listen to it, I'd recommend it. It's the Flushing Podcast. They had Sonny George and I can't remember the other guy, Jordan, on there. And Travis was the host. It was a really good podcast. But I didn't think about this until they started talking. They got really in depth about, you know, picking the puppy up. How do they transport the puppy when they get the puppy home? What, you know, they do X, Y, and Z. And it dawned on me while I was listening to this that, like, when I raise my own, I normally keep in the whole litter until, you know, 5-6 months old. There are times that especially if I pick up a pup from one of my buddies or whatever, I'm usually getting two. I don't like to raise, you know, I don't like to raise a pup by itself, but at the same time, raising a pup by itself is 10 times easier, right? So I got to thinking about that. And so if I get a single pup, let's just take Iz, because that's the last one I've got. She's getting ready to turn 6 months old, or she is 6 months, turning to 6 months, or is 6 months. When I got her, I picked her up from the dog collar. I met him at the gas station. She'd been in a transport van for a couple days. I pick her up. I throw her in my lap. I drive 10 miles down the road. I get her out, and I'm cutting wood. Like, literally, that was her first hour with me. Is this dude picked me up, he threw me in his lap, and he drove down the road, and now the loud noise is going off. So she stayed around the truck. Of course, she was 8, 9 weeks old, 10 weeks old. She stayed around the truck quite a bit. But what I'm getting at is I kept her in a small crate in the basement. I crated her. And I got to thinking about, like, if I have double pups or litters, they stay outside in the pen. I don't mess with them. Like, I don't, not that I don't mess with them, but I don't bring them in and crate them. And I've got a handful of dogs that when I get them and I get singles, I end up crating them. I did Tilly that way. I have done, who else did I? Sassy. Sassy stayed in for a week or so. And I'm like, why do I do that? Like, why do I bring these dogs in and crate them, and I don't do the other dogs that way? Well, it's just personal preference, and it's a single dog. It gives me a little bit of time to make sure that I'm not just throwing them out in a kennel, and then they start getting anxious or they're lonely or what. Ever goes on through a dog's mind, and then they start barking and they get some bad kennel manners and so on and so forth. That was my thought process. So I get a dog that's single. I usually bring them in the basement and crate them, and we can go through the whole crating process, which is a very, very interesting theory they had, which it's so funny because of some of the stuff they talk about. I'm like, yep, I do that every day. Like, I do it. And these guys train dogs every day, so we're kind of on the same page. And y'all have heard me talk. So when I'm crating a dog, I keep the crate as small as I can where they can get up, turn around, lay down. And I'm not giving them a big, you know, a big, huge crate so they can start using the bathroom in there and stuff like that. While I'm sitting here thinking about this, I'm like, you know what? The dogs that I'm crating, I never have issues with them using the bathroom in the truck. You're like, okay, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, so if you throw the dogs up in a truck and you take a 2-3-4 hour trip, 6 hour, just like me driving to BB's, it's going to be a little over 5 hours. And I'm taking some new dogs that we talked about. Like, I haven't crated them. So usually it takes me a couple trips to learn them, to figure out what I need to do to prevent that from happening, where the dogs that I've crated, I don't have that issue at all. None whatsoever. And I will tell you, I cannot stand dogs using the bathroom in the dog box. Like, don't like it. Can't stand them doing it on the truck. And I got two that drive me absolutely crazy. What I have to do with them is before I go hunting or I put them on the rig, I've got to leave them down and run them down the road about a half a mile. If I run them down the road about a half a mile, boom, they use the bathroom. I'll tell them load up. They jump up on the truck and we go on. Don't have any problems. But if I do not do that, they are going to use a bathroom on top of the truck. And I can't stand it. Don't like it. Can't stand it. But the dogs that I crate, I don't have that issue with. So that is a positive of crating a dog. It also teaches them some kennel manners. I don't have the problem at the kennel. You know, none of my dogs are like crazy in the kennel. We talked about, we like a dog that wants to rest and relax. And when it's time to go to work, calm, clear mind, right? But one of the things that they were talking about is when I open that kennel, when I open that crate, we don't let the dogs just burst out of there. You know, we either block it or we do a simple touch with our hand. Nope, I'm not ready. I do that in my pens. In fact, I'm doing it with all three, with Miles and Abby and G and Izzy. Like, I open the pen, I stand in front of it, I step away. Okay, you guys can go. Only when they're calm, when they're standing still, they're not jumping around, they're not, you know, trying to bust through me, get around me. That's what I do. And that helps so much with training in every facet that I do. Because when they're clear-minded and they're calm, they can think. They understand. They can pick up the process easier. They can get through things because they're like, okay, if I do this, I can do this. And if I don't do this, I can't do that. And that translates to the truck and to the tailgate and opening the box and letting the dogs come out. I don't want them running over top of me. You've heard me say that 100 times. No, 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 no. I don't want that. So that helps with crate training. I do it at the kennel. So I'm doing the same thing, just in a different manner. Single with the crate, more than one in the kennel, making them do that from a very, very early age. And you don't have to say nothing to them. You don't have to do anything. It's just like how their mom would communicate with them. And she's giving them guidance non-verbally. It's just by body language. And I do that. I do a lot of it. All right. So we've got the pup home. We've done a few things with them. This is where it kind of, we talk about foundation training. We talk about 5 minutes a day. And I'm going to go back to the fishing. So before I go fishing, I got to charge the batteries on my trolling motor. So that's daily. I'm charging batteries. Friday evening before I went to this tournament, I got in my boat, I cleaned everything out, I got all my lures situated, you know, where I knew where everything was at. I even tied new leaders on two of my poles that I'm using braid on, so I'm tying like a 3-4 foot piece of leader on it, so if it breaks, I'm not having to go down on my braid, it just breaks off and I can redo it. So I retied a couple of those, got everything ready. So my prep work, right? That's what I'm doing. I'm investing time before I ever do anything. So it's like practice for sports, football, basketball, volleyball, whatever you're doing. So what are you willing to do with this pup for the first 6 months of its life? Prep work. And the more prep work you do with it, then the easier it's going to be the later in life with this dog. So I'm doing my foundation training with the pups, right? You've heard me talk about me loading them. You've heard me talk about when I took them to the vet or when I took them to the clinic to get rabies shot, I felt like I rushed that. The dogs had been in and out of the dog box, but they weren't comfortably going in it and staying in it. Like I was having to force a little bit, and I didn't like to do that. And all dogs are different. You know, some pups are going to jump up in there. Izzy, she don't care. She jumps up in there. She don't care what you're doing. You know, Abby and G, they're more cautious. They're they're going to take a little more time to get from point A to point to Z, just because that's their nature. Where Izzy's not like that. She don't care about the things they care about, and it's vice versa. There's things that she pays attention to, like catching her. I can catch those two. I can yell for them or whistle for them, and they come and they'll about knock your feet out from underneath you. Her, no, not happening. She's doing a lot better. We've been working on that. But the prep work, like how much are you trying to, how much are you willing to do? I'm having to put the boat and the fishing poles and the fishing aside to go ahead and get some time in with the dogs. And I'm going to have to do that as much as I can for the first two years, 3 years of their life. So if I keep those dogs over the span of their life, you know, 10, 12, 14 years old, whatever it is, I have nice hounds. And if I invest that time now, then I don't have to worry about it later on. So having a plan, what is your plan? When you get this pup home, what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to leave it in a pen? Are you going to let it out every day? Are you going to work the small things every day? You know, the loading and the leading and the recalls and, you know, teaching the dog what tone means and all the little things that go into what we do when we hunt. Are you going to do that? Are you willing to do that? If you're not, then what's plan B? Are we just going to take the dog out of the pen, put him in the truck, haul him to the woods, and turn him loose? If that's the case, and I've done it, we've all done it probably, if that dog is not a superstar natural, then that's when you end up staying out late trying to catch a dog. That's when you've got five dogs at a tree and another dog not there. You're having to chase it around because it don't understand, or it's not comprehended yet. And you may even have to do that with your pups that you've spent time with, but it's less likely that you're going to have to do that. Or you're going to have to clean out your dog box because you didn't spend a little time working on it. Just like, you know, what I did with the three pups that I've got or that I'm working right now. Are you going to lead that dog through the woods and it's getting twisted around every sapling and every tree, and then you're getting aggravated because the dog's not leading because I didn't spend 5 minutes a day for 2 or 3 weeks, 5 minutes every 3 days for 2 or 3 weeks, teaching the dog what lead pressure means and what it's supposed to do and what it means. You know, what is your plan? What is your end result? That was one of the words that they used. What do you want for the end product to look like? And then how am I going to get to that end product? Like, there's 10 different ways. There's 1,000 different ways you can get there, right? But what are you willing to do? And the more that you're willing to do in the first 6, 8, 10 months of that dog's life, the more pleasurable it's going to be for that dog and you later on in life. And then at 3 years old, when the dog's pretty solid, I can take that boat out during the summertime and fish a couple more days if I want to, because I know the dog's where he's supposed to be, even though I'm probably going to go hunting because that's first priority. But you get what I'm saying. So have a plan, and you need to have a backup plan, so you don't have to go through all the headaches when it comes time to hunt them. And I know that we talk about this on the podcast all the time, but listening to that other podcast, it kind of settled in with me, and I enjoy working with the dogs. You know, I do it for a living. I enjoy watching the dogs grow, the pups grow. I mean, that's probably one of the things that gives me the greatest pleasure, is watching that puppy develop from, you know, if I'm raising it here at home, to a finished product. You know, I've got the A litter, which is Attica and Axe. Those dogs are turning 3. And I mean, they were catching bear by themselves at 18 months old. And, you know, this year they ought to be really solid. dogs. And then I've got the bee litter who are coming 2 years old. And I'm a little behind because I didn't start them. Remember when I went to Canada last year, I didn't take them. I didn't want to take the extra dogs. So, and I had four of them, and trying to hunt four pups like that trying to train them at the same time is nothing but a headache. So I've downsized. I'm down to two. I kept Briggs and Bishop, and Bishop's a little bit more behind than Briggs, but Briggs is doing pretty good. Those dogs are coming around, and then now I got the sea litter, and I got old Big Ugly down here, and I'm going to start. So he's 10 months old. Tilly is going to be 11. She's in heat, so I don't know that I'll get to take her. And then I got Miles, who's 8 months old. Those dogs are going to be on their first trip. This is their first hunting trip, but I've done the foundation work. Everything is pretty good. Can I say it's solid? Distractions will tell, and I've worked some on that, right? But I don't know that it's 100% yet. But this is going to be their first trip to take them and hunt them. And I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited to watch them grow. And I'm having to put some other things aside to make sure that my plan is to get these dogs as far along as I can in the first year of their life. So that means I need to hunt as much as I can. And I'm not as fortunate as some of you guys, but hunt as much as I can when I can. And that's my plan. So that's it today. Have a plan. And then we're going to go from 6-8 months old in the near future on a podcast. Guys, sorry you had to listen to me 3 weeks in a row. Guests are schedules right now, it being spring, almost summer. It's got a little tricky, so hopefully you'll have some good stuff. You will have some good stuff coming up. I know what's coming up. And I'm really going to try hard this week to film as much of the hunts as I can while I'm down with BB, and I will be posting that on the YouTube. I'm not a photographer. I'm not a filmographer. I'll do the best I can, but I'm going to try to start filming some of this stuff so you can see. So you can see the development of the three young dogs that I'm going to take. It's never seen anything. See where they're at. See if the foundation work that I'm doing is paying off. Okay? Catch you guys next week on What's Up Wednesday.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.